WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The White House could be wavering some on tariffs imposed on Mexico and Canada. Kelly O'Grady of Money Watch.
It does sound like there are tariffs that will remain, but there might be certain sectors that would be exempt. The auto industry has been particularly called out.
On Capitol Hill, there's a hearing on sanctuary cities. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says fears over deportation cause more problems.
When there's trust between city's residents and the police, undocumented immigrants come forward to report crimes to local law enforcement and provide information that helps the police solve those crimes.
Powerful storms are sweeping across the country today. Heavy snow in the Midwest, in the South, strong storms. CBS's Dave Malkoff is in Raleigh, North Carolina.
This is a possible tornado day or a straight line Wednesday. You could have damage from either one, and we have seen both of those throughout the path of this storm.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A Waukesha teenager has become a person of interest in the deaths of his mother and stepfather. Donald Mayer and his wife Tatiana were found dead in their home last Friday. A day later, 17-year-old Nikita Kassip was arrested in Kansas while driving his stepfather's stolen vehicle. For now, that's led to theft charges, but no formal charges related to the homicides. Possible cuts to Medicaid could cause a Wisconsin impact. Savannah Tolme Olson has more.
In the House, lawmakers passed a budget resolution instructing the Energy and Commerce Committee to cut $880 billion from the budget over the next 9 years. Experts say those cuts are impossible without slashing funding to Medicaid. The state federal program provides coverage for 18% of Wisconsinites. That's 1.2 million people here. That includes 1 in 3 Wisconsin kids and 4 in 7 nursing home residents across the state. Liz Williams, senior policy analyst for Kaiser Family Foundation.
Medicaid is jointly funded by states and the federal government, so any restrictions in federal Medicaid spending really leave states with tough choices about how to offset reductions.
Williams says states only have a couple options, including increasing state tax revenues, decreasing spending on non-Medicaid services like education, or decreasing coverage for other groups. Republicans are targeting these programs for lower funding in order to pay for Donald Trump's tax cuts from 2017. They're set to expire. According to the Center on Policy and Budget Priorities, nearly half that money would go toward the top 5% of Americans with the most wealth. Republicans' tax cuts under this plan would cost $4.5 trillion. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks down the Hawks 127-121 in Atlanta. Damian Lillard scored 23 points, but after the game had a swollen black left eye. How'd that happen?
I went up to try to, you know, help in the off the glass, and was behind the guy. His arm just came down. His elbow went, you know, right up. Like, the point of his elbow hit right on my eyeball. So, you know, once it hit, I knew it was either going to swell up or turn black. But my vision was, I never had my vision get blurry like that.
Men's college basketball, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in Minnesota tonight for the border battle, while number 20th ranked Marquette seeking revenge at UConn. NFL, Green Bay Packers re-signing kicker Brandon McManus to a new 3-year deal worth $15.3 million. McManus gets a $5 million signing bonus with another $5 million guaranteed. He turns 34 this summer at the start of training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Rain starts to mix with sleet and becomes all snow after 5 o'clock. Total accumulations look to stay under an inch, but a wind advisory is in effect. They're sustained at 25 miles per hour, gusting from 40 to 50 miles per hour. This will make it hard to see and blow and drift that snow around. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 33 at our studios.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 3 p.m. for Broad Appeal, we talk to Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein about her billionaire overlord and Trump's plan to gut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbaugh, along with engineer and producer Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program here. It is Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
There you go, the old camel. Got in on the snow across much of Wisconsin today. Some school districts decided to either have classes remotely or call them off altogether because of the mixture of precipitation, rain, ice, snow. Some places have it all. Places like Rice Lake, Amory, perhaps as much as 8 inches, lesser amounts. Other places in Wisconsin, here in Madison, downtown at the world headquarters, we take a look outside. On the streets, on State Street right now, some snow. It's still kind of flurries right now, but a little bit of wetness on the pavement. We probably got an inch or so here in Madison, but check out 511wi.gov to all the road conditions across the state of Wisconsin. This is going to continue for some parts of the state, the moisture, that is, through today. So just be aware of that. We need the rain for farmers and ag producers, but certainly makes it slippery out there on the roadways. 7 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, a River Falls native. Great hockey player, has stuck. Also a Green Bay Packer owner.
Has stuck
around for the second half, the hour number 2 here of the program, and we appreciate that because we're going to play what's worse a little bit later on here this half hour. Timely indeed, having to do with roads and people. They could both be slippery. What's worse, we'll talk about that in a little while. But right now, Trigvi, you came back, and I appreciate this because this is really great. We talk about the Lincoln Project a lot, but there's an offshoot called the Lincoln Democracy Institute, and I want you to explain a little bit your involvement with that. And you have some new research, and you're so very kind as to debut this on our show, and I think it's really important stuff for us to understand one another and understand how we talk to each other as Wisconsinites.
Yeah, so the Lincoln Democracy Institute is our 501c4, which means it's less political. They don't do ads. What we do with Lincoln Democracy Institute is really focus on what are the things that we can do to protect and defend democracy. And we do a lot of research. And in the course of doing our research, we came to an understanding that, quite frankly, we need to not just do political research, but we really need to look into what's happening at the individual level and why people are making choices that are antithetical to democracy and maybe antithetical to who they are in their daily lives. And so what we did is we put together panel research. And what panel research is, in the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, across all of them, We've recruited 4,000 people. 1,000 of them are in Wisconsin. And we have, for the last year, been having conversations with them, giving them surveys, having them take different tests so we know what their personality traits are, what their values are, what roles they play, do they have kids, trying to understand and work with these people who have all volunteered to be a part of this and receive some compensation when they're helping us out, really understand who they are. And it's a great project. And one of the things that we just released today is a PowerPoint, and Todd, we can push it out via social media, I think. People can go and look at it. It's on the fears. We asked people about 40 fears, and we would say to the respondents, Todd, on a scale of 0, not afraid at all, to 100, how afraid are you of an economic depression in your lifetime? Mm-hmm. And you would answer. And then we'd say, Todd, how afraid are you of a nuclear war happening in your lifetime? How afraid are you of traditional American values being replaced, or climate change, or whatever? We've gone through and looked at all of those fears, and we work with a lot of academics on this. And there are 5 kinds of fears that when you encounter people, they're going to be one of 5 kinds of people in terms of their fears. They may be institutionally skeptical, i.e. they're worried about government, you know, wasting their money, or, you know, institutions failing. High anxiety generalists, who tend to be afraid of lots of different things. Political chaos warriors, people who are worried about democracy and it failing. Economic security seekers, and the future shocked. And that's people who are worried about what the future looks like, things like AI. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about each of these groups, when you're talking to somebody, if you meet somebody who talks a lot about being afraid of America's future, immigration, traditional values being replaced, you're probably talking to an institutional skeptic. Now, they are far more likely to be Trump voters, about 70%, right? Mm-hmm. The kinds of things that you need to, when you're talking to them, and the kinds of questions that you need to be asking them, need to focus on the fact that you know that they have a high level of distrust and suspicion about others. So you need to make it about individuals that they know that might be different, right? Mm-hmm. And why they might be different. If you're talking to a high anxiety generalist, people who are afraid of things like affording necessities, economic depression, their kids growing up in a worse America, so they kind of cross over with the other group, you need to be asking questions about, are tariffs, for example, benefiting you? Oh, you work in agriculture. Have you seen that USAID being suspended is going to cost Wisconsin farmers upwards of $150 million in cheese that won't be bought, right? Mm. You need to focus, if you're talking to a political chaos worrier, people who would be far more likely to vote for Harris, almost 70% of them, about things like corrupt or incompetent government officials or billionaires controlling government, because that's their fears.
So,
right?
So you and I can sit here and talk about this all day. And this is when Trigvy and I go across the state, oftentimes I just sit there as fascinated because you really do know this stuff and you dive down deep on it and you're obsessed in a good way. And I find it so fascinating. Let's step back for a second for people who aren't as obsessed as you and I are and kind of put this in more, you know, common English terms. In all this research, Trigvy, give us, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 things at the most that the big takeaway is from this, particularly in Wisconsin. What are people really afraid of? And how can we talk and have thoughtful discussions with those folks?
So what are people afraid of is going to, and this is where people need to look at the data, that's going to vary depending on which of these 5 kinds of fears that people hold.
Are there any through lines, or are there things that are common or no?
No, they're, you know, each of us comes at looking at the world differently, right? A little bit. And so the things we fear are going to be shaped by the events that we think that matter and our personal experiences. So if you're a guy who's our age and you remember the Cold War, you might be more shaped by those experiences than you would be by the pandemic. If you're a younger person and you never experienced 9/11 or the financial crisis, you're probably going to be more shaped by, you know, the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. And what you went through. So the first rule of having conversations with people is understanding it's not about you and what you think. It's about how they see the world.
Yeah.
And thinking in your mind when you're having a discussion with them that may not be going well, what is it that they really fear, and what are the things that shaped their understanding of the world? Because, and how do I ask questions about that that will help them see? The second thing that we are missing is you don't shame people out of their values,
mm-hmm.
right? So trying to present people with all kinds of facts isn't going to get them to change their opinions. In fact, it's going to make them more hold on deeper to their, well, the government is spending $8 million of my money on transgender mice, right?
Mm.
The way that you get to that is you ask them questions about things, right? None of us want waste, and you may want to admit that. I don't want waste, right? But doesn't that seem a little far-fetched, right? And you have to make it's all about coming back to them. And the things that we're releasing are about trying to get people to understand how to look at those that they're having conversations with and come at it from their perspective, not from their own perspective.
I've got a column coming out, I think, this week on Civic Media, and it's based on not this great research that you've done, but just on what you and I did the last year and a half. And I start out with the Yogi Berra quote. You know, you can observe a lot just by looking around. And it's so 100%. True, and that's what you and I found. And I think you're so right, spot on in this. Now you have the quantitative data to prove it. Is you have to, not you, but folks, myself included, we have to remember to look at things through the eyes of the people that we're in front of, whether that's at a bar mm-hmm. stool or at our kids' cross-country event or at a band concert or hiking, you know, in a state park. How do other people see things? And then, as you said, look, I'm somebody who left the Republican Party in 2011. I didn't leave because I was shamed into it. I left because I was witness to something that was untrue to the things that I believe. And I said, I can't be a part of that.
Right. I mean, you recall we were in the bar, I think at Stevens Point at one point, and I was having the conversation with the bartender who was trying to figure out how he wanted to vote. And if you remember when he was saying what he was thinking, I wasn't giving him facts or counter arguments to his decision that he was trying to make between Harris and Trump and his concerns about prices and what it meant for the bar and all of that. Remember, I was asking him questions that were about trying to get at what is the underlying concern mm-hmm. that he's really articulating. Because remember, people are going to talk in sound bites and things that they've heard. But what you have to do is you have to understand what is the real fear, what is the real thing that, and then be asking them questions. Well, does that really make sense? Is that how you apply in your own life to, you know, if they're concerned about immigration, but you know that they know somebody who's an immigrant who, you know, works for them and they like them, mm-hmm. you have to ask the questions about that. You need to make it personal.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy for those to make it about others. You have to make it about specifics.
We're going to put all this courtesy of Trigby and the Lincoln Democracy Institute on our socials so you can connect to it and read it for yourself. Come on back. We'll play a little What's Worse with Trigby after this. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
540 WAUK presents This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast.
Hi, this is Downtown Donnie Brown, and we are acting locally, thinking globally. I'm really excited. On this week's podcast, my guest is Union Carpenter and 11th District Aldermanic candidate Aaron Spencer. It's going to be a great show. We hope you can join us on civicmedia.us/shows. Be there.
Find This Week in Waukesha online at waukradio.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
anti-authoritarian feelings ran high in the years before and after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, as the Declaration's litany of complaints against the king suggests. So it's unlikely the Founding Fathers would have supported expansion of presidential powers and absolute immunity for official acts. The July 1st opinion from the so-called originalist members of the U.S. Supreme Court invokes Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Papers vision for a vigorous and energetic executive. Without that, quote, the president would be chilled from taking the bold and unhesitating action required of an independent executive. But that's not the whole story. Three other prominent framers of the U.S. Constitution, James Madison, Benjamin Franklin, and George Mason, feared the opposite and pushed for a multi-person executive council to decentralize power. Ultimately, they compromised, stipulating that the president should seek advice and consent from the Senate for appointments and treaties. Constitutional Convention delegate James Wilson said during debates on the Constitution, "Sir, we have a responsibility in the person of our president. He cannot act improperly and hide either his negligence or inattention. He cannot roll upon any other person the weight of his criminality." He continued, "Far from being above the laws, he is amenable to them in his private character as a citizen and in his public character by impeachment." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour, 1 o'clock on a Wednesday hump day. Zomer's on the board. Trigby Olson sticking around for a little hour two. We appreciate that. Trigby, thank you so much again for sharing with us this latest information, this quantitative data. Again, 4,000 folks, 1,000 of them in Wisconsin, following these folks for a long time and really putting it down there where the chickens could get at it. As how we talk to one another, or better put, how we listen to one another and learn from one another. 100%. And so all this information from the Lincoln Institute on Democracy will be on our website. Jordan, listening on WMDX, a brand new listener, a brand new texter. We appreciate that, Jordan. Jordan says, excellent point about needing to meet people where they are, not where we are. Seven Habits author Stephen Covey said it well, quote, first seek to understand, then to be understood, unquote. Great comment.
Oh, I'm stealing that for some of my presentations.
There you go.
That's really good stuff. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. That was great. We appreciate your listenership and
being. I had forgotten Stephen Covey. I read that years ago. Book. That's a fantastic book. But yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, that great.
He's quote. Right.
First seek to understand, then to be understood. Really, really great stuff. All right, 22 minutes past. Anything else you wanted to add on that, Trigby?
No, okay. That's all I got for now.
Here we go, 22 past the hour, 1 o'clock. Time once again to play What's Worse. Let's go. This or that, this
or that. But of course, the choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Time once again to play What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but your chance to have your voice heard on 11 stations across the News Talk Sports Network. All around Wisconsin, largest independently private-owned radio network in Wisconsin. No better place to get your message out than right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, Trigby, here we go. This is good. Timely, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas likes to say, because we do have several slippery roads in Wisconsin right now as this storm system is working its way across the state and out. Be careful out there on the roads. So we have lots of slippery roads. Trigby and I both been in politics quite a while. Trigby has probably known more people like this than I have. But here's the question. What's worse, slippery roads or slippery people? Slippery roads or slippery people? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it at your Apple or Android device. Simply go to the search bar, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Click on it. Takes less than a minute. It's free. It's what Gail King at CBS calls a deal. Make sure you have the Civic Media app because I have inside knowledge that coming soon, another text to win contest is on its way.
And it sure is.
And it's going to be spectacular.
It is. We know what the prizes are, but we can't tell you yet.
I cannot tell you, but I'm very, very excited about it. So make sure you download the Civic Media app. All right, what's worse, slippery roads or slippery people? 855-752-4842. Let's go to the North Woods. Ollie, listening up there in the North Woods. Ollie, slippery roads, slippery people, what's worse?
Well, hands down, it's got to be slippery people, because the ice on the slippery roads will always melt, and the fallout from slippery people can last for years.
That is a great point. I absolutely love that. Have you known some slippery people up there in the North Woods?
Well, I can mention one or two right now.
Not by name, but...
One starts with a T and one starts with an E.
That's probably because we don't want to get sued, but, you know, I appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much. I like that, Ollie. I'm guessing Trump and Elon, but maybe not.
Perhaps.
All right. Very good. Let's see. Texter Dave in New Berlin. Dave says, slippery roads, Todd. Slippery people are easier to see. All right. Well, there you
go.
That
can be true.
That can be very true. What's worse, slippery roads or slippery people? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Trigvy, any thoughts? Slippery roads or slippery people?
I always have four-wheel drive cars, Todd, even though I live where they don't usually have slippery roads. So slippery people.
Slippery.
I didn't like it when she was saying one begins with a T. That could be Trigvy or Todd. That made me a little nervous at first.
I think she was talking about some folks out in D.C., not you amongst them.
Right, exactly.
Let's hope. The Chuckster in Racine checking in. Always appreciate your listenership, Chuckster. Talking Heads have a great song called Slippery People. So I'll go with the slippery people. Our words. Very good. That's fantastic.
Talking Heads have more. That is a good song. Talking Heads have lots of good songs.
All right. Well, there you go. Zombers, any thoughts? Slippery roads, slippery people?
I think I got to agree with Ollie that, you know, slippery road and Trigvy, where if you have a vehicle that's equipped for slippery roads and you understand how to deal with them, that's a lot easier to deal with than slippery people.
And also, I agree, the ramifications, like Ollie said, the ramifications. I mean, you get through a slippery road, put some salt on it, it's over, it's done.
Now, people can die from that. But people can also die from the impact of slippery people.
Yes. I mean, I hesitate to bring this up with 90 seconds left, but one of our favorite pinatas on this show, Trigvy and I, our old buddy, former Governor Scott Walker. Now, there was a guy that was slippery because he'd go out and he'd talk about being the son of a Baptist preacher and all that. And then you'd get behind closed doors with he and Mike Hipsch, and they turned into just very slippery people. They wanted something different. And I've been in a few of those meetings, Trigvy. Very slippery.
Yeah, that slippery is a good word for it.
Mm-hmm. because it's a slippery slope, because they start one way and then behind closed doors, very, very different people.
I agree with that.
I would actually say
that would be a good example.
Like, for instance, Glenn Grossman. I wouldn't consider him slippery because he shows you the road, the pavement all the time, whether it's behind the closed door or not. Not so slippery. But it's the people that appear one way and then actually do stuff the different way behind closed doors. I consider that slippery.
Yeah, I agree. That is the definition of slippery.
So there, yep. I think the big
and thing, having to deal with people who are slippery is a slippery slope, Todd.
It is. So there you go. There is the consensus of the day. Scott Walker is a slippery person, and that is worse than a slippery road. Trigvy, always appreciate you coming on, my friend. Have a great week.
Thanks.
Don't slip anywhere.
It was good being on. I will try not to.
We appreciate
you.
See
you guys.
See you later. Trigvy Olson, Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project. Thank you. Come on back. More fun on the All Balls Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Yesterday, the Milwaukee Common Council approved a new school resource officer agreement with MPS. It follows several missed deadlines and pressure from a circuit court judge. The deal specifies that SROs must wear police uniforms and cannot act as representatives of the school district. Training for the 25 new officers is set to begin next Monday. The district faces a March 17th deadline to provide the court with a list of police officer names and their school assignments. At this point, it's being called a death investigation. Part of Lincoln Memorial Drive was closed briefly yesterday for a response at Bradford Beach. The medical examiner was called in, but not a lot is known about what happened yet. The federal deadline for updating identification to real ID is approaching. Jimmy Koska has more.
Over one-third of Wisconsin driver's licenses have still not been updated to Real ID, with the deadline under 2 months away. A Real ID is required to fly domestically or to enter federal buildings as of May 6th, although people can still use another form of ID, such as a passport, to fly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation says about 37% of driver's licenses in the state have not yet been updated. A full list of documents needed for the update and more information is available on the Wisconsin DMV website.
The cost of getting a Real ID is the same as renewing a driver's license or a photo ID, or getting a duplicate license or ID. The super deal is done and she'll start in 2 weeks. The Milwaukee Board of School Directors unanimously approved Dr. Brenda Casilius's contract as the new MPS superintendent. Casilius, formerly of Boston Public Schools, is set to begin her 2-year tenure March 15th. That is earlier than initially planned. Contract details have not yet been released. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Kieran Culkin is now an Oscar winner, having won the award for Best Supporting Actor last Sunday night. However, if Culkin had his way, someone else would have won. Just 2 weeks before the film written by Jesse Eisenberg was to start shooting, Culkin said he almost quit because the last season of Succession went on longer than anticipated and he wanted to spend time with his family. Culkin also won the Golden Globe and Screen Actors Guild Award for his performance. Being a good dad only goes so far. Speaking of the Culkins, Kieran Culkin has come a long way from playing Fuller McAllister in Home Alone alongside his brother Macaulay. Macaulay attended after parties with his wife Brenda and said he knew his younger brother was going to win because of where they sat him in proximity to the stage. The older Culkin was asked if he would see his brother later that night, and his response was, "I'm not sure. He's a busy guy." He's now Academy Award-winning actor Kieran Culkin. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Rain starts to mix with sleet and becomes all snow after 5 o'clock. Total accumulations look to stay under an inch, but a wind advisory is in effect. They're sustained at 25 miles per hour, gusting from 40 to 50 miles per hour. Those will make it hard to see and blow and drift that snow around. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. It's 33 at our studios.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are talking all things legal with Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review. He joins us at 10:30. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock on Wednesday, March 5th, 2025. Zomer is dialing up some slippery people. Some slippery roads.
As the Chuckster recommended.
Yeah.
Talking Heads, Slippery People.
Nicely done, Chuckster. Nicely done, Zomers. Appreciate it. Welcome back, everybody. Appreciate Trygve Olsen sticking around for an extra half an hour here. Really interesting stuff from that Lincoln Democracy Institute report. We will share that publicly so everybody can take a look at that. And again, I think the big takeaway for me on this, and it's great to have quantified data to support what Trygve and I just kind of found out in the wild. And it wasn't just me, by the way. It wasn't just me. We traveled around our friend Jane Matinair, Matt and Air on Air for a week, Richland Center and Amory and Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley area. We went with our friend Earl Ingram up to Baraboo in southwest Wisconsin at Devil's Lake. And then we traveled with Trygve on multiple occasions. Our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow did a couple of shows with him at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair and the Pablo Center. And I think what Trygve has found in this quantified data of 1,000 people in Wisconsin and 4,000 people in these key states is to really think about the people that we talk to every day, our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, our coworkers. Pause and reflect a minute, as I say so often, to quote my former algebra teacher, Andy Spies, pause, reflect, and think, how does that person see the world? How do they view it? And then number two, that we simply can't shame someone into changing their beliefs or other thinking.
These things make sense. Like, you might hear this and go, well, duh. Mm-hmm. But think back on your life and think back on how many times you're talking with somebody, whether you agree with them or not, and you're not really speaking the same language. Mm. Like, you aren't actually connecting. Like, it's easy to think, oh, well, of course you're going to think about their opinion. It's not as easy to put it into practice. So these kind of reminders are very important, I think.
And I think that was one of the big takeaways for me. It doesn't matter whether, you know, when we were down, Kreitlow came with us down to South Milwaukee last year. We did a great show. For the in the South Milwaukee High School down there, the Milwaukee Public School System, which so often gets maligned, but when you actually go there and take some time to look at the facilities, talk to the faculty, the educators, talk to the students, the parents, they're doing some wonderful, wonderful things there in South Milwaukee. And then you go up to we were in Superior. We were up there when Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, former president, was there to announce this funding to replace the Blatnick Bridge or Amory or Hayward for the Birkenbeiner. The similarities are that all these folks, it doesn't matter which end of the state, urban, rural, we're all tremendously proud of our communities, our families, and our friends. Those are some similarities. But we also have to recognize that all those places, we grow up slightly differently. We might have slightly different religious values, and how we see the world is different. So when we're talking to each other, rather than saying, well, you don't know anything, stop for a second and think, what's the viewpoint? Where does that other person come from? And as Trygve pointed out, how can we ask questions to one another to get us to think and find that common ground? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Back to Los Angeles, California. L.A. Tom, back on the line. L.A., what do you got?
Yeah, I think people have to understand the power of media. Because there's some people that actually will believe the propaganda, and they'll actually think that someone like Sean Hannity is their personal friend, or even a Rush Limbaugh was their personal friend. And for some reason, they hold more credence and they hold more believability than maybe even the family member or a friend that they respect. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because they spend so much more time with them, you know, on a regular basis or what. But one thing I find about conservative media is that, one, they don't apologize when they do tell a lie or a mistake. Two,
they tell lies quite often. And any type of alternative media actually seems to come up with, you know, like, will actually say, yeah, I made a mistake on that. Or, hey, you know, they'll actually admit that there was an error. And when you got one side of the media landscape that's constantly saying lies and doesn't correct them, then for some reason, someone hearing the alternative media saying, oh, yeah, I made a mistake on that, or, oh, yeah, Democrats are not, you know, they screwed up in this way. It's all going one way in terms of conservatives just sticking to the point that, yeah, theirs is great or that theirs is right. And for some reason, I think that's what maybe sways some people that are in the middle or some really, really thoughtful, good people to actually go along with the lies that the conservatives tell them rather than looking at it like we're talking about, like a sensible person and saying, okay, what are my fears? One-on-one, I agree with you in terms of the fears. My problem is that there are so many lies that happen through the media reinforced by commercials that they'll see on TV.
Sure.
Which, of course, all goes back to money and politics.
But don't you think, Tom?
I can sit down with someone at a bar stool.
Well, that's the point.
And I can say to them, the problem's money and politics, right. And they agree, 70%.
Nailed it right there. You nailed it. That's exactly where I was going. And that's why I try to talk on this show. And I try to encourage, I try to do it myself as much as I can to get away from our devices, all of us, whatever political spectrum we're at. And this is what Reed Galen's been in this program and saying, you know, join a Lions Club or a Rotarian Club or whatever. And this isn't, and I think some people hear that. They're like, oh, you're just telling us to ignore the problems. And no. It's quite the opposite. It's to your point, L.A., which is to, if we can connect with our friends and neighbors in our own community and get to build a trust first, then we can start having these conversations and get down to some truths politically. But it's very difficult to do that when we're all hiding behind screens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we think that the screen people that are on the screens are actually our best friends for
right.
some reason.
Right.
Or people, you know, like I said, whether it's Rush or whether it was, or it's, you know, some of the Fox broadcasters or OAN or
sure.
Newsmax. I'm not trying to just separate the difference.
No.
It's just there's a difference in media between Fox and MSNBC. And I'm trying to be honest about it. I'm trying not to look at it and go, okay, yeah, MSNBC is totally progressive. Well, no, it isn't. MSNBC is corporate.
But don't you right? And wouldn't you agree that there are corporations and media that have different agendas, but are equally as guilty as ginning this up just for ratings, clicks, and likes?
100%. I mean, Les Moonves said years ago that Donald Trump may be the worst thing for America, but he's the best thing for ratings for CBS.
Bingo.
So,
yeah, bingo.
Yeah, you know, that's what it is. And somehow we have to be able to uncover that, just like we're talking about in this, you know, election coming up with Crawford.
Right.
You know what? Sometimes Crawford's not going to get her message out because she may not have as much money. And she's a judge. It's not right. a political.
And let me say this, based on, you know, anecdotal information via following everybody or trying to follow the main candidates on social media. I will say Crawford appears to be going out and actually meeting people much better than Schimmel. She's actually having public meetings where anybody could come and talk to her. And I give her a lot of kudos for that.
I have seen more of that as well. Yeah.
Appreciate it, LA. Thanks so much. Have a great day out there on the West Coast. 855-752-4842. A little closer to home, Dale up in beautiful Wausau, listening on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Dale, thanks for listening. Let's see.
Yes. What I wanted to say is that I think the protests around the country are really a good thing. It's letting the general public know what's going on with this Trump administration. And I have a couple slogans here that I'm going to put on signs myself. And one is the muskrat rodent has to be stopped from rooting around in our government.
Okay.
And then I got one more. The orange anus criminal has to be impeached for real.
Okay.
And Yeah, and you know, one thing that I've thought about all my life is that good news travels at a certain speed, but bad news travels the speed of light.
Yeah.
And we get the word out there what's going on in our government. You know, I think people need to know. And with these Social Security and Medicaid, Medicare, all these different programs being shut down so that we can give tax cuts to the billionaires. Here's an example of somebody making up $10 million a year. Okay. Right. They get a 10% tax cut, so that's $1 million. Somebody making $40,000 a year, their tax cut is $4,000. So that's 250 times as much as that person making $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can put in their pocket.
Yeah.
And if you blow it up to somebody making $100 million a year, a 10% tax cut, that's $10 million compared to the $4,000 that a person making $40,000 would get. Mm-hmm. So that's 2,500 times the tax reduction that one person gets over another. In other words, that person making $100 million would get a tax cut of $9,996,000 more tax cuts, more money in their pockets.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad, right, Dale? Appreciate the call. Dale up there in Wausau, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I agree, Dale, in that I think that peaceful protests, you know, going out, and again, I think Trivi's talked about this, Reed's talked about this, Reed Galen, other folks, that it does give us a unifying group. Again, it's coming together with people knowing that we're not alone. And again, as long as they're peaceful and nonviolent, either against people or against personal property, I think that's great. That's the First Amendment. That's speaking out for what we believe. Coming up at 46 now, past almost 47, past the hour of 1 o'clock. Wanted to pass along just a little bit of news here. Marquette University Law School poll is out. And we're going to take a little look at some of their findings here. And I'm going to say after we come back, because I had it on my phone. And then this is exactly why Todd doesn't like technology, because I have something up there and then I go to click on it and then it goes away. See, if you have paper doesn't go away. So we'll talk. I think Governor Evers, according to Marquette Law School poll, still tremendously popular right now, one of the most, although his numbers have slipped a little bit. It turns out people in the Supreme Court race who have been talking about Schimmel and Crawford, I don't see, they didn't do a head-to-head, and our great political editor Dan Schaefer reminded me last night that the Marquette Law School poll normally does not do head-to-heads with Supreme Court justices in terms of the race. But they did do a have you heard of them or not, and it turns out that people haven't heard a lot about either one, which to me sounds bizarre. Given all the ads up so far, I guess it wasn't so much they hadn't heard of them, but they don't have an opinion.
Which, that's interesting, because, I mean, I don't watch TV a lot. I watched the news last night, and I saw one Crawford ad and six Schimmel ads, and I feel like it's hard not to start forming an opinion when you see that much stuff.
Exactly.
About them.
How can you not have an opinion on this stuff? But yet, that's what some people came back. So we'll come back, talk a little bit about that to close out the show, and take your phone calls as well. On a snowing, be careful out there. Again, roadways, some are slippery, particularly in northwest Wisconsin and central Wisconsin right now, as some of these places have seen several inches of snow. Some of it are slippery roads due to some freezing rain and ice. All that's going to move out of the state later on today. But until then, be careful if you're out there on Wisconsin roads. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you are listening around the world and around the state on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
Hi, Chef Grunder. Let's dive right into the machine shed. Fridays here mean all you care to have fried or broiled North Atlantic cod. Or try our bone-in seasoned catfish, lightly fried. More of a salmon lover? Choose between the machine shed's white wine sauce or apple bourbon glaze. Our sautéed savory shrimp will satisfy your taste buds with Old Bay seasoning and Asiago cheese. All great choices. Join us this Friday or every Friday for seafood worth savoring at the Chef.
I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations across Civic Media you are listening to. A weather update with our great meteorological team. Meteorological? I kind of flubbed that a little bit. Meteorology team. And our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, in with a little sports as well. Then the Maggie Dawn Show with the one, the only Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 2 until 4. Dominic Salvia, 4 till 6. Pete Schwabba in with Nightlight after that from 6 until 8. Great lineup here on Civic Media. New Marquette Law School poll being released about an hour ago in real time here, so bear with me a little bit. But this is the very, very interesting new poll that was conducted February 19th through the 26th. I sound like Richard Dawson from Family Feud. Interviewing 864 Wisconsinites, top 10 answers on the board. No, not really. Wouldn't that be great, though? They should, when Charles Franklin introduces this, they should play like Family Feud music. Let's play the feud. There you go. Very good. No, this is real. February 19th to the 26th, 864 people, Wisconsin registered voters. The poll has a margin of error at 4.6%, plus or minus. So that means that these results could be 4.6% one way or the other. So that kind of gives you the realm here. All right. It finds that the large percentage of registered Wisconsin voters remain unfamiliar with the candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court and the state superintendent of public instruction with less than a month before the April elections. Among registered Wisconsin voters, 38% don't offer an opinion on state Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel, and 57% say they don't have an opinion on Schimmel's opponent, Susan Crawford. Now, I find that fascinating. That 57%, I mean, don't have an opinion one way or the other on Crawford. That's just astounding. 38% don't have an opinion on Schimmel with all the ads, TV, digital, otherwise. Maybe Zomers were just too much in the news bubble.
Maybe. Otherwise, what I'm thinking is maybe people are responding less to political ads. I don't know. That's possible. Or people are muting their TVs.
I think that's what it is. I think people just are like, I'm not, I think in my layman's non-political science perspective, I think it shows how much people are tuning out of news altogether.
I think you might be right.
Just like I'm not paying attention to it. Also in the Marquette Law School poll, in the election for state superintendent of public instruction, 61% lack an opinion of incumbent Jill Underley, 69% haven't heard enough about her opponent, Brittany Kinzer. So even less, which I guess that tracks a little bit. People don't pay that much attention on the whole to the DPI secretary race, but even more people don't know about the two candidates. Or I shouldn't say don't know. They say they don't have an opinion. All right. According to this new Marquette Law School poll, awareness of the candidates is even greater among those who say they are certain to vote in the election and who say they are enthusiastic about voting. So this is another Charles Franklin and his great team. They say, are you somewhat certain, very certain, absolutely certain? And then same thing, are you somewhat enthusiastic, sort of enthusiastic, very enthusiastic? Todd terms, not the actual question, but you get the idea. So back to the Marquette Law School poll coming out about an hour ago. 41% of registered voters say they are certain to vote. Wow, that would be high. And are enthusiastic about voting on April 1st. By contrast, in the 2023 state Supreme Court race, 51% of registered voters actually turned out. I think it was one of, not the highest spring turnout in maybe forever, but quite some time. So according to this, as we stand right now, 10% less enthusiasm out there for this Supreme Court race. Marquette Law School poll results again. Among those enthusiastic and certain to vote, 42% have a favorable opinion of Schimmel. 43% had an unfavorable opinion. In the same group, 33% have a favorable opinion of Crawford, 32% have an unfavorable opinion. So that's fascinating that 42% of people who say they are enthusiastic and certain to vote have a favorable opinion of Schimmel, and a 33% have a favorable opinion of Crawford, 43% have an unfavorable opinion of Schimmel, and 32% have an unfavorable opinion of Crawford.
So what it really means is that people are 50-50 on both of them, right. Except more people don't know what to think about Crawford.
Pretty much that you boiled it down. Yeah. And so that, and which stands to reason simply because Brad Schimmel has been on the ballot statewide as the, and has served as the attorney general.
So he's a little more well known.
So his name ID, it makes sense that, you know, his name ID would be higher, but it's fascinating that they each, there's one point difference between whether or not they're favorable or unfavorable. What's interesting is that Schimmel has a higher unfavorable at 43%, but not as many people know Crawford. So, and this is why, this, you want to know why you have all these negative ads out there? It's because of this. It's because both sides are trying to drive up the unfavorable,
right,
because they're not that well known yet. It shows that with less than a month now, April 1st is this election, is very important, that people need to educate themselves because they still don't know who these people are. Very, very, very interesting results. We'll have more later on this Marquette Law School poll. Thanks to Trigvi Olson, Pat Kreitlow, Aaron Zommers, and all of you for joining in. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. For all of us, I'm Todd Hallball. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I talk a little show business with Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Rich LoCascio from Civic Media's WRJN drops by to talk pro wrestling. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Special Report. With fears about tariffs on Mexico and Canada impacting the U.S. economy, President Trump has made some adjustments, allowing automakers a one-month exemption on imports from those two countries. Here's reporter Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
This is coming after a discussion between the president and leaders of Ford, GM, and Stellantis. This gives carmakers a little bit of breathing room, but does not remove uncertainty. Tariffs have the potential to add significantly to carmakers' costs, something that could be passed on to consumers.
Business reporter Jason Brooks.
Automaker stocks jumped on the tariff reprieve, given that those companies rely heavily on Canada and Mexico for components, while factories in those two nations also assemble millions of cars and trucks for GM, Ford, and Chrysler Jeep parent Stellantis.
President Trump and Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau spoke by phone today in what Trump describes as a somewhat friendly call. CBS News Special Report, I'm Cammie McCormick.